apparently.
Probably frozen muffins.
I don't want to get a...
Just checking. You guys pretty outside, good, can you hear us? Down the back? All awesome. Good? Awesome. Well, Ollie, I thought we'd start off before Pastor Rich gets here. Just get to know each other
Brilliant.
A little bit. So, once again, I said yesterday, we're in youth ministry. We're in young adults ministry all the time.
Yep.
And we're always playing games and having fun.
That's right.
And I thought when we're at Masterclass, we should do the same. So, what I want you to do in a moment is stand to your feet in a second. Find someone you genuinely haven't met. I don't want you to be like, oh, I haven't met you, but I know everything about you. Find someone you genuinely haven't met. Ask for their name, and you're going to play the game one truth, two lies, all right? Two lies, one truth. And so you need to tell the person two lies about yourself as well as a truth, okay? I'll give you a tip. Don't say the truth straight away and then go, and start thinking about a lie. Think about your lies first, all right? But so we're going to do that and then try and guess after each other have done that what the truth and what the lie was. That'll spark some good conversation. One truth, two lies. Stand on your feet. Find someone you haven't met before. Play the game.
Yep. Oh, it's too hard. Nah, because then I'm... I'm gonna try guess yours.
All right. How's it going?
Awesome.
When you're done, you can grab a seat. Stay standing if you got it right.
Yeah. Good conversations.
So when you're done, take a seat, but stay standing if you got it right.
Take a seat. Mate, too hard to stop.
Look at this connection. Man, they love it in churches, and they're like, hey, we want you to connect, and then you just get connected. He's like, guys, stop connecting.
I feel I'm back at pre-show doing something, and no one's listening.
I'm listening, Will. Like always.
All right, when you're done, take a seat. Take a seat.
All right, even if you're not done, take a seat.
Take a seat.
Sit down. Unbelievable. Hey, real quick show of hands. Hands up if you guessed it. Hands up if you guessed the truth.
Guess the truth. Good job.
Hopefully you didn't find out anything. We thought it's important. I actually think we need to get to know Pastor Will DeLacy a little bit more. So I'm going to now play this game with you, Will.
Yep.
So you're going to give me what? Two lies.
Two lies and a truth.
And a truth.
All right. I have done a bungee jump. I once almost killed a young person playing fireball soccer on the beach. And when I was younger, I wanted to be a firefighter when I grew up.
Okay, I'm straight off. My natural instinct, which worries me, is that you've almost killed someone. Your truth is... Yeah, I'm going to stick with the truth if you almost killed someone playing fire soccer.
That was definitely the truth, everyone.
Brilliant.
That was definitely the truth. I'll give you a tip. If you're going to make a fireball, make sure that the material put around the wire doesn't come loose. Because as you know, when fire gets more oxygen, it gets bigger. So every time the ball got kicked and the material came off a bit more, more oxygen got in and a big flame about the size of Ollie almost hit this girl on the beach.
I remember one of the first time I ever spoke anything, and it was our Life Warkworth crew.
Yeah.
And like, they were just straight up ruthless, and they played fire soccer, and there was this 13-year-old girl playing in bare feet, and she had like, because the metal got so hot around the ball that like, the next day she just had lines where she was burnt from
kicking. But the theory is with fire, if you don't hold it there, you're all good, so.
I don't know what happened, man.
Just don't tell your health and safety person at church about it.
Love Osh. Hey, we're super stoked for this session to have Pastor Rich back, which is going to be amazing. So he's going to be speaking, and then afterwards, again, we're going to hit into some Q&A. So think about your Q&A. Don't have a question, hold out, and then we run out of time, and you're like, dang, really want to ask that. And then what happened yesterday is about 10 people came and asked me questions, and I don't know because I'm not rich. I have the same good looks. But that's
easy.
I don't have the fashion sense and or the knowledge. So if you've got a question, make sure that you bring it up. We're going to have some Q&A, but we're going to give it up for Pastor Rich right now. Can we stand our feet? Welcome him.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, guys. You can grab a seat. Appreciate all of you. I have this battery pack and outlets up here, you know. Y'all are looking good. You guys enjoying conference still? Yeah. Anybody excited to hear the one and only Jensen Franklin preach tonight? Jensen Franklin is in my top five favorite preachers of all time. If you don't get excited when Jensen Franklin's preaching, you're not an excited person. His titles alone are sermons. Shh. That's the sound of the Holy Spirit. Like what? Like how do you have the shh noise in your title? I could go on and on and on. I just love him so much. It's going to be a great night tonight. I know we're all going to be encouraged, and I so appreciated hearing from Chris Hodges this morning. That was so much gold in there, so much notes, and I think a lot of the young leaders in here, I think that we have this tension to manage once again of being good sons, good daughters, and also preparing to have a father's heart, a mother's heart that we are raising up the next generation. This session today, I think, is really kind of geared around this question that I was looking at, that the idea of kind of making the gospel relevant within pop culture and what's happening today. And I think a lot of that always obviously comes down to the approach, but ultimately, and I'm not trying to be like old school here, I don't think the gospel needs our help in making it relevant. I think you got to start there. I really, really think that the gospel is the thing that we shape our lives around. And so our paradigm, our philosophies, our perspectives, it gets shaped because of the gospel. The gospel doesn't get shaped because of us. I do think as messengers that we need to constantly be working on ourselves to make sure, as we talked about yesterday, those of you that were in this session, that we make sure that we're good reporters, that we're good mailmen, that we are sharing the news correctly, that we're not getting in the way of it, that we are making sure on every part of our job that we're being good messengers. I think that people can definitely mess up the message. And so what I want to do, if we could today, is, are we doing okay with the microphone? Am I doing something wrong again? I feel like every day I get up here, I do something wrong. Am I good? Oh, okay. Can you hear me in the back? We did this yesterday. Check, 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 check. Can you hear me? Can you hear me in the back? Can you hear me in the back? In the back, can you hear me? Can you still hear me? And so, yeah, I have a prophetic word for you in the back. And what I want to tell you is, stand up, sir. I want to tell you right now that you're a man of God. You're an incredible man of God. He's like, what? I'm missing it, you know? All right, sorry. Kidding, I was off the microphone. like, so stupid, you know? I thought I would take some time today in talking about us as leaders and how we as leaders can make sure that we're sharpening ourselves and that we can make sure that we're doing the best job to be the messengers, to be the reporters of the news that God has for us. And our church, as I was sharing yesterday, raise your hand if you were in yesterday's session. Is everyone the same sort of, or you weren't out? Raise your hand if you weren't in the session yesterday. It's probably a better way to start. Hey, how are you? Thanks for coming. Your name, ma'am? Your name, ma'am? Tish? Such a cool name. How do you spell that? Oh my gosh, my mom's name is Tish. No, it's not. But it would have been a good moment. It's not. But I'm thinking about naming my daughter Tish now. Okay, so there's a few of us that were here that were not here yesterday, but our church, which was founded 2.5 years ago, was founded on 7 core values. Jesus is our message, people are our heart, generosity is our privilege, excellence is our spirit. Servant leadership is our identity, honor is our calling, and passion is our pursuit. Those are core values that we refuse to stray away from. But about 9 months ago, as we first started our church, there was nobody that was on staff. It was just all servant leader led. In fact, my wife and I weren't on staff for the first 4 months of our church. So everybody was just showing up and doing stuff. And so all we talked about was those core values for the church. But about 9 months ago, now we have a staff of right at 20 people after 2.5 years. We're thankful for it. God continues to multiply it and grow it. I think that faith doesn't maintain. I think faith always multiplies. And so I think healthy things grow. But I felt like 8 months ago, talking to our staff and talking to our team, I'm going to pretend today like you are our staff and our team, I felt like it was important that we had some aspirational values on our staff that really were about us being sharp and us holding to the core truths of who we wanted to be as reporters and as messengers of the gospel, essentially saying that, hey, we live in a time right now that the gospel is always relevant, but we need to do our part to make sure that we're connecting dots for people. So I wanted to give you, if it's okay today, our 7 staff values. In fact, I've never shared these in this kind of a setting, but I think some of this stuff will be helpful for you. And I'm going to read most of this, and then I'll take some time to chat through some of these, and then I'm going to get my man back up here, and we'll answer questions. Is that cool? So let me give you them. Number one, our first staff value is make it better. Make it better. What am I doing personally to help us improve organizationally? My role, no matter the job description, is to make the organization better. I won't do tomorrow what I can do today. I choose to put my full weight down. Imitate, innovate, evaluate, repeat. So our first staff value is that everybody who jumps onto our leadership team, their first job is to make it better. Yeah. Like if you're in a role right now today, your job is to make it better. The fastest way to leadership, solve problems. If you want to grow, start solving problems. Make things better. Make a decision in your heart today that wherever you go, whatever space you're put into, that when you are there, you start adding value to that place. I like the idea of putting my full weight down. My grandfather, he always had these like silly jokes and he had a dry sense of humor. And I remember one day I came to him, I said, Papa, I was for many years very, very afraid to fly. I still kind of deal with the fear of flying, even though I fly quite a bit. I said, Papa, I'm kind of afraid to fly. And he said, Rich, do you know what the trick is to flying? And I said, no. He said, never put your full weight down. I was like, what do you mean? And like my grandpa was very wise. So I was like, okay, what does he mean? Like, don't like, you know, what do I keep one foot in the air? And he's like, try it. And I'm like, you can't try it. And ultimately that was the whole point of his silly joke was the only way you can fly, the only way you can get from point A to point B is you got to get on the airplane and put your full weight down. I think many people, they jump into roles, they jump into leadership areas, and they're trying to do it without putting their full weight down. And the reality of it is it's impossible to get from point A to point B unless you bring the total value of who you are into that place. Your job is to make it better. I told our team the other day, you don't have to be the best today, but you do have to get better today. You have to live with that kind of a value in your life. I don't have to be the best today, but I do have to get better today. So I would challenge you right now, what are ways, what are mechanisms, what are systems that you have in place in your teams and in your areas to ensure that you're getting better? One of the things I said right there is imitate, innovate, evaluate, repeat. So like, I'm totally cool. Like, I think like a lot of us, maybe we're young communicators. I think it's totally okay to be an echo before you become a voice. I think if you're like 19 years of age, like you don't even have a voice yet. You got to actually like get somebody in your mind and actually get some kind of an echo taking place. You can imitate something. And as you develop your voice, it will grow and grow and grow. So what we always say is like, yo, let's find whoever's doing something the best. Let's go ahead and imitate that. And out of our imitation, an innovation will take place. As we innovate it, let's evaluate it. And then if it's working, we're going to repeat that. We're just going to do that over and over and over and over and over again. So I think coming to conferences like this is huge because what you're saying is I want to improve. I want to grow. I want to get better. And the way I get better is by first finding out what the standard is. As I start to do that, then I can innovate from that. I can evaluate that. I can repeat. One of our things is at our church, we evaluate everything. And here's a great evaluation mechanism if you're not already doing it. We call this the SWOT analysis. It comes from the business world. SWOT stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So any event, any gathering that you do of any sort, any project you have, when it's all over, all of your team should turn in strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. People ask me all the time, Rich, how often do you evaluate? we say we evaluate as frequently as the event takes place. So that means every Sunday, there's a SWOT analysis from every team member at our church. That means every team night, there's a SWOT analysis. That means every crew, there's a SWOT analysis. If the event is worth doing, the event is worth evaluating. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We're called to make things better. And if you'll just step in going, great, I'm going to make it better. I'm going to grow. You'll be shocked to see how far you can go. Amen? Yeah. Number two, write this one down, is take it personally. Take it personally. How am I personally engaged in our mission and vision? How am I putting into practice that which I am encouraging others to participate in? We can't ask people to do that which we are unwilling to do. We lead, but we also participate. We are not just church leaders, we are members of the body, serving, giving, hello, crews, growth track. The fundamental parts of our organization are championed by the team wholeheartedly. This is who we are. We are the church. Think, be, do. So literally what we challenge everyone that's on our staff is that you have to take this thing personally. This is not a career. It's a calling. And I would encourage every one of you out there that are in full-time ministry right now, if you keep thinking of this thing like it's a career, you're going to find yourself coming up short every single time. You have to decide that this is a calling. You can't just like attend the church and go, I'm going to prescribe this to everybody else. No, this is the area that you have to get high on your own supply. Amen. You actually have to take your prescription. You actually have to do the things you're telling other people to do. I get up in our church all the time, and you should say this to your church. I tell our church from day one, look, I'm not just leading in this church. I have every right to participate in this church. What that means is that I get to be vulnerable. I get to go through stuff, and if I need a shoulder to cry on, someone needs to be there. I need people to encourage me just like you need encouragement. I'm not just leading, I'm participating. And I would challenge you, as you're looking for leaders, as you're looking for people to promote, you want to find people that are taking this thing personally. That this is something, you know, I'm all in with this thing. Like for instance, you can't get hired on our staff if you're not already tithing at our church. You check that, Rich? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because how on earth... Think about it this way. If God's people are God's greatest possession, if people can't steward money, how on earth could I entrust them with God's people? And some of you right now, like you're in this place, if you're not like tithing in your church and giving in your church, you have no business even being in church leadership. You don't. Because you can't manage people if you can't first manage your funds. And if you're not strategic and a good steward of money, you'll never be strategic and you'll never be a good steward of God's people. And so we're always challenging, but you got to take this thing personally. You are all in. The growth track, everybody on staff's ready to teach the growth track. VU crews, that's not like, oh, that's that department over there. No. We're all in a crew. We all participate. Come on, somebody. If you believe what I'm talking about, make a little bit of noise out there. All right, check this out. Number three, watch this. I love this one. Work together. Work together. Where am I leveraging the talents and skills of those outside my primary team? I'm not too proud to ask for help, and I'm not too busy to be of help. I will inspect what I expect. Collaboration is valued in all aspects of ministry. There are no one-man bands at VU Church. God is honored in our unity. We seek to honor God by our collaboration in every aspect of His church. Once again, we were talking about this yesterday because I know there's a lot of youth pastors and young adult pastors here. If we're not careful, we will become a subdivision in our church, and unintentionally, by default, we will create division in the church. The Greek word for two is di. So division, division means two visions. Jesus himself said a house divided cannot stand. What we must fight for on our teams, and if we're going to be good representatives of Christ, if we're going to make sure that we are relevant with our approach to people of the gospel, it will only happen when we're all working together, when we're leveraging each other's gifts. Everybody that gets hired under our staff, I make it really clear. I said, hey, I'm pretty aware of my weaknesses. I didn't hire you and bring you onto this team to work here to remind me of my weaknesses. You know why I brought you on here? I brought you on here to make a big deal of all my strengths, and then you're here to cover all my weaknesses. In fact, that's how you should look at your senior pastor, those of you that have a senior pastor. Some of you spend so much time exploiting and exposing and magnifying everything that he's not. But if you would understand the power of working together, you would say, okay, he's missing that. That's why I'm here, to fill in the gap of everything that he's not. My strength can cover his weakness. Come on, somebody, make a little bit of noise out there. Working together. The Bible is, it's awesome, right? Because the Bible's math doesn't make any sense. Have you ever seen this before? One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 2,000 to flight. No, it doesn't say that. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. What's the principle? The principle is that when you work together, it's not addition. It's multiplication. And if you could catch that, if you could realize that the guy in the IT department actually has some really, really great gifts for your youth ministry, and if you could tap into him and honor him and lean on him, you'd be shocked with the ideas that would come out of that space. Some of you, once again, if you would realize that the gospel doesn't need to be made relevant, you would realize that your senior pastor, although he's in his 70s, this is not his first rodeo. He's got more wisdom than you could ever imagine. And if you could position yourself to get underneath him and honor him in the right way and work together, you could get all of his gold, and you can make up for all the areas that the next generation doesn't understand about him, as you're a bridge over the gap. Somebody said amen out there. Number four, write this one down. Replace yourself. Ooh, replace yourself. Who am I empowering today? It's not just about getting the job. This is a huge line in our church. I want you to take this, steal this. It's not just about getting the job done. It's about involving as many people as you can. If you replace yourself, you'll always have a place. Leaders who attract leaders are the leaders you can't afford to lose. Write this line down. You can't fill anyone's cup, but you can empty yours. If you aren't bringing someone along and teaching them how to do what you are doing, you aren't leading. We aren't doers, we are leaders. We are intentionally creating and communicating a pathway of growth and purpose for others. This is like value for our staff. Like, the leaders you can't afford to lose are the leaders that constantly attract other leaders and replace themselves. What happens to us is that we all have this challenge that we think too small. And we start thinking too small, and we start thinking about ourselves. When you're thinking about yourself, you cannot see the big vision of all that God wants to do. And when you're only thinking about yourself, you limit your growth and you limit your capacity to move forward. When you get the eyes off of yourself and you start to empower other people, I'm telling you, there will always be a place for you. What happens is we get afraid that if I replace myself, what will I do then? What will my role be? If I'm the youth pastor and I raise up a whole teaching team, what will they need me for? If you could change your thinking around and realize that you're a leader who attracts leaders, you're the type of person that a team can't ever afford not to have. Our job is to constantly to pour ourselves out for people. I can't fill anybody's cup, but I am responsible to constantly pour mine out. We say it this way back home. Sometimes you go into audiences, and sometimes the audience, on a scale of 1 to 10, the audience has like a response mechanism of like a 6 or a 7. And it's amazing. Because what can happen is an audience can actually take a sermon or an atmosphere like way above. It can make it way better. Like, you can create an environment of faith, of expectation, that when you come in, even if you're not that good, you're way better. So like at VU Church, we fight really hard to create an environment that doesn't matter who comes up on the stage. When God's word gets opened up, regardless of background, style, regardless of who they are, personality, our church leans in, starts shouting, starts clapping, amen, smiles. It's fully engaged. Because what we've learned is that if an audience is sitting at a 10, if the speaker or the communicator is even a 6 or a 5, you watch, that guy's going to get pulled up to the level of the audience. But what I've decided in my entire ministry is I don't care what the audience is. They could be a 4, a 5, or a 6. I'm coming in every single time and bringing a 10. Now, what I've learned is I've learned that many times I can be bringing a 10, and if the audience will go with me, it can take me to a 12, a 13, a 14, or a 15. What's the point of the metaphor? The whole point is that it's not dictated upon what somebody else is going to do. I'm going to be responsible for who I am, and my job on this journey is to replace myself and empower leaders and give everything I've got to the next group of people. Sometimes I think we get afraid as leaders. We're like, well, Rich, what do I do if I train people and then they leave me? Well, that's a really negative way of looking at your life. The other way of looking at it is, what if you don't train them and they stay with you forever. I'm going to risk me giving everything I got to somebody who takes it and does his own thing and goes rogue versus me not giving anything and I'm stuck with some bum when he's 48 years of age forever. You need to change your perspective. Your job is to replace yourself. You say, Rich, okay, give me something practical. How do I know when I can empower, delegate, and give that responsibility? Here's what we've done back at our church, and we just believe this. I believe if somebody can do a job at 60%, meaning if they can get a D plus. If they can get a D plus at what you do, you need to give that task over to that person. You have to. Like that's a good scale for you. Like, the truth of the matter is, yeah, you probably can do it better, but they're never going to grow unless you give them a chance. So at our church, it's like, yo, it's not just about getting the job done. It's about how many people can we involve? I remember when we were in youth ministry and like we didn't have a lighting team. We did. We had this little board that had like these awful little lights, but there was another team. It was like the house lights. It wasn't on faders or dimmers. And so it was just a switch. And so literally though, I was like, one guy could do it. I was like, no. It's not gonna be one guy. We're gonna create a structure. We're gonna create a team. And this is gonna be the on-off lighting team. And before you know it, they had a rotation of six people that there are three moments in the service. Are you ready? Okay, this guy tells them. Yeah. And the whole point was, it's not about turning lights on and off. It's about developing leaders in God's house. Amen. Replace yourself. Make a decision right now today to do that. Leadership is best seen in your absence, not your presence. Greatest compliment you can give me is you went to my church when I wasn't there and said, yo, this place is running strong. That's when you know you've got a good leader on your hand. You weren't even there? Yeah, because they're actually leading and they've been empowered to lead. Amen? All right, number five, write this one down. Is this helping anybody? Is this okay? The gospel is relevant. You know that, right? The gospel is really relevant. If we're going to reach our generation, it's just about us sharpening the saw, which is who we are. If we'll get better, I promise you we can be good reporters. Amen? Number five, this is a big one in our church. Stay fit. Stay fit. How am I taking care of myself spiritually, physically, relationally, financially, and emotionally? We take responsibility for our own health. No excuses. Nobody owes me anything. Jesus gave me everything. Our personal lives come to work with us. Your marriage, body, frustrations come to work with you. I can make a personal decision that negatively impacts the organization and my coworkers. Our attitude is not dictated by the weather. We carry our own weather. We choose to be here. We are thankful for community. I think it's just important that you take personal responsibility for who you are. Like, you have to stay fit. I meet so many people that are burned out, and the reason they got burned out is because they didn't stay fit. They ran themselves dry. Side note, there's a lot of people that are saying they're burned out, but they were actually just never on fire to begin with. They just don't understand. But when you just run yourself dry and you're not actually taking care of yourself, that's your responsibility. No one's – here we go. You ready for this? No one's going to ever care about you more than you. Whoa. That's actually not your senior pastor's job. You didn't care about me. No, you didn't care about you. Isn't it amazing that the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself? The Bible has a premise working that you're actually valuing and taking care of yourself. Could it be the reason why we're so bad relationally and the reason why we're so bad at loving people is ultimately not because people we have a problem with, but we have a problem with ourselves. We're not valuing ourselves. We're not taking care of ourselves. We're not healthy individuals. And sometimes Christians get so super spiro and it wears me out. Sometimes we think that every problem will be solved by reading more scripture and spending more time in the prayer closet, and it's just not true. If you're going to last in leadership in 2018 with the pressures and the burden of what this takes with social media and with everyone around that's hitting you up, I'm telling you what, yes, you better get a prayer life. Yes, you better get into God's word. But there's some other things. Your physical health matters. You can't drink Red Bulls every day of your life and expect to feel good. You can't do pizza night every night of your life and wonder why you're having a hard time hearing from God. It's not that God's not speaking, it's that your body is so physically unfit that you're not even in a place to be in a position to hear from the Lord. I just wish somebody would have told me this. Honestly, like, I wish when I first started ministry that someone would have said, Rich, Here's a huge piece of advice. You need to make a commitment right now to healthy eating and to exercise. Dude, I started flying on airplanes. I've flown 3 million air miles with American Airlines. And somewhere in all that, nobody ever talked to me and said, hey, bro, you need to actually get a routine down that's actually going to make sense, that your body will last through what you're putting it through. Staying fit is your responsibility. Emotionally, like, I love what Chris was talking about, because there's some beautiful stuff that hopefully it's not just stuff you're going to go preach. Hopefully it's some stuff that you're going to live out. Like, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. And so if you don't get open and vulnerable, what happens? A wound that's neglected tends to get infected. I remember when I was like in the sixth grade and we were playing tag on our bikes, and I was playing with our boys, and we were playing this game, and I was hiding behind this car, and I had my kickstand down, and all of a sudden, my friend, he was next to me, he kicked my kickstand up, and when it went by, it sliced right by my leg, and it put this huge gash in my leg. And my mom, I wasn't staying at my mom's house. My mom and dad were out of town, staying with a friend's house, and, you know, if it was my mom, she would have really looked after me, but it was my friend's mom. And so she just kind of put some, like, Neosporin, like, put a big Band-Aid on it. But ultimately, the wound needed stitches, and it needed to be cleaned out. And because it didn't happen, 3 days later, this thing was infected, and I don't want to talk about it, but I have a huge scar to this day. And the reason why was because that when the wound was inflicted, it wasn't treated properly. I think so many of us, we're just carrying stuff emotionally, and we're having to get up on stage and act like we've got all the answers, but on the inside, we're just tormented, and we're going through some stuff. And I want to challenge you today that if you're going to make the gospel relevant to pop culture, you actually have to be a person who stays fit. So I said it this way the other day to our team. I just talked to our staff literally 2 weeks ago about this on a Monday. I said, you need to have some core habits in your life that when you don't know what to do, you still know what to do. I want to say it again for you, because this is going to help somebody. If it doesn't make sense, I'm going to explain it to you. You need to have some core habits in your life that when you don't know what to do, you still know what to do. So, like, for instance, let me just tell you, like, three core habits in my life. And you can make fun of them, but they're my core habits. For me, three core habits currently right now in my life is that I have to start my day at least 3 to 4 days out of the week in the gym. And it's not because I'm trying to, like, look good. It's because I need it for my energy to be sustained. The second thing that I have to be doing is I have to get into my Bible, and I have to read every single day. And then I have to read a book that I'm reading. And then my third core habit, you can make fun of this all you want, I have to take a shower every morning. Yes, I recommend everyone take a shower every day. But the core habit for me is actually the timing of it. I can't do a shower at night. I can. I'm all for 2 showers in a day, by the way, if that's who you are. But it's actually my moment that I connect with God, and it's actually a moment that I get refocused. So I go to the gym, I read my Bible, and then I take a shower. And what those things do is they set my day into motion. And so let me just tell you, because people maybe have never told you, but the more you grow in leadership, Chris talked about it the other night, that oftentimes with more blessing comes higher temptation, comes more opportunities. And many times as my leadership grows, or as our world grows, so often the pressure increases with it. And many days I can wake up going, I don't even know where to begin. I can be so overwhelmed by the day. It's in that moment when I'm so overwhelmed by the day, when I don't know what to do or where to start, thank God I have some core habits that don't take any thought process, but rather they're muscle memory. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to roll out of this bed even though I don't feel like it. I'm going to put my shorts on. I'm going to go over to the gym with slightly a bad attitude, and about 30 minutes in, my frown's going to be turned upside down. I'm then going to come home. I'm going to open up my Bible. I'm going to continue in my YouVersion app. I'm going to take some notes. Then I'm going to pull out my book, I'm going to read a chapter, then I'm going to get into the shower, and I'm going to reflect on what I read, connect with God. And by the time I get out of that shower, guess what? I know what I need to do for the rest of that day. It's called trying to stay fit. When you don't know what to do, you need to have some habits that you still know what to do. Where right now do you need to get fit? That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Not every problem is a spiritual problem. Some is a physical problem. Some is an emotional problem. Your finances, like, you need to get a hold of that. You need to understand that if you're going into the ministry, what you signed up for. I think too many people, they sign up, it's like, figure out, take a financial peace course, listen to Dave Ramsey. There's great resources out there. You need to steward your money well. You need to make sure that you know what you're signing up for. Don't sign up for it and then a year into go, oh my goodness, this is not, like, you need to define before you get into it. Jesus said this, before you build a building, count the cost. Yeah. Yeah. You just got to do that with your life. Stay fit. All right, number 6. Remain flexible. Remain flexible. How do I manage the tension triggered by new ideas, innovation, and change? God gives you the what before he gives you the how. I could preach for 35 minutes on that. God always gives you the what before he gives you the how. We are not intimidated by a big vision. We run towards God's dreams and put our faith in action. Everyone is up for change until something changes. Change brings tension. In order to be flexible, you have to constantly stretch. We embrace the stretch and the tension that change brings. We are not defensive or protective. We are called to the house, not a room. We are committed to the big picture. This is just so big in ministry, especially once again in 2018 with how fast things change. We live in a world right now that's full of change, and change is happening quicker than it's ever happened before. And if you're going to be a person who locks into one typical practical role, like the people that always make me laugh the most is like, hey, you know, they're coming into ministry in 2018. It's like, yeah, but I only do youth. Like that's where I'm called. At our church, that type of talk wouldn't even work. It's like in my house, it didn't work in my house, by the way. There's four boys in my house, and my mom would tell me to clean any room she wanted me to clean. Clean the kitchen. I never was like, yo, mom, that's your kitchen. She would kill me. Okay. But I would clean my brother's room if she told me to. Because it was my house, not just my room. And I think you need to make sure that on the leadership journey, if you're going to stay sharp, that you remain flexible, that change is happening, innovations occur. I loved that principle that Chris Hodges gave today. Say yes to everything, man. Dude, if you're under the age of 30, you should be saying yes to everything. Every opportunity you're saying yes to, it's going to teach you, it's going to train you. How do you remain flexible? You have to stretch. Yeah. You have to stretch. If you're not flexible, it's because you're not stretching. So you need to put yourself into some places right now that are stretching your personality, that are stretching your disciplines, that are stretching your comfort zone. Everything God has for you is always on the outside of your comfort zone. All of your success is on the other side of your fear. Amen? All right, number seven, let me give you this last one, and then we'll chat for a second. Celebrate constantly. Am I finding something or someone to celebrate today? Gratitude brings joy, and joy brings strength. We make it an organizational focus to celebrate the journey every step of the way. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We are committed to learn, to laugh, and have a sense of humor. Celebrate others' success. We like to party with a purpose at VU. We make hard work look fun. And this is something that I'm very, very passionate about. At our church, I was telling you guys a little bit yesterday, but we're a mobile church and started out of our apartment. And so every one of our events is like, it's just a whole lot of effort to put on any kind of gathering. Any midweek gathering, I don't know how they pull it off, but people take off work and they show up to venues at 10 in the morning, and it requires dozens and dozens of people. On Sunday morning, right now, we have two different locations, and one of our locations, a huge semi shows up at 5:45 in the morning, and close to 50 volunteers are there to help unload the truck. To load out of our venues, both of our venues are there to close to right at 11 p.m. at night. So from 5:45 a.m. to 11 p.m. at night, people are working just to put on church services. And so I think if we're going to work that hard, we better also be intentional to celebrate that hard. Yeah. So at our church, we don't just prepare together, we don't just pray together, but we are intentional about playing together. We have some fun together. And I think parties are very, very important. Celebration is important. Every Monday we have a staff meeting. Our staff meeting always begins with stories. Hopefully you're doing the same thing with your team. Bring everyone back to the why of what you're doing. Let's hear some stories from the weekend. And we could go literally for 45 minutes on a Monday very easily with people just telling stories. Every 6 weeks or so, I got to remind our staff, hey guys, let's make sure we're bringing in story, because you got to keep stoking that fire. You got to keep reminding everybody that it's about hearing the why. But what I've learned on the journey is that if you can produce gratitude, if people can get thankful, they get joyful. Yeah. How many know you really can't say thank you with a frown on your face? Yeah. If you do, you're just saying words, you know? Thank you. Like, no, you didn't mean it, you know? My mom would, you know, she'd pop me in the mouth. You know, I don't know what you guys do in New Zealand, but I'd get smacked in the mouth. And, you know, she would say, you know, change your face when you say it, you know. Thank you, Mom. You had to smile. Because ultimately, if you're really thankful, you're gonna actually get joy. Nehemiah chapter 8 tells us this, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. What if the key to you moving forward is gratitude? When I get grateful, I get joyful. And when I get joyful, I get strong. Some of you right now, the reason why you're having a hard time advancing or taking ground or moving forward or getting activity or getting energy is simply because you have not valued this last statement, which is you got to bring celebration into a constant mode into your church, into your teams, that we're always finding something to celebrate. We're always finding something to be thankful for. We're always pinpointing someone and pointing someone out and saying, you're doing a great job. You're awesome. When you do that, you watch people start getting thankful. They start getting joyful. They start getting strong. Amen. I think that's good stuff. Why don't we give the Lord a big round of applause? You want to jump up here or?
Awesome. Hey, we're going to put this out for Q&A. I got a couple to kick us off there. Should be awesome. But Rich, man, yesterday you talked about, obviously, you guys launching out. And also just when you first got that God call, and I think you said Adelaide, and coming back and going like, man, there's some hard choices here around friendships, around relationships, around what I say yes to, say no to. And then obviously what you guys have done, you and, you know, Dawn Cherie over the last couple of years with VU Church. What have you done and how have you chosen the friendships and relationships that you've brought into that inner circle to be a strength for you guys? Because I imagine there's a whole lot of people that like want to be around you, want to be in that world, but they're not necessarily the right people for what you guys are called to. How have you gone about doing that? How have you negotiated those relationships that aren't healthy?
Yeah, I think I think on a basic answer, I think there's three types of people that we all need. We all need a Paul in our life, someone that's pouring into us, somebody that sees something in us, someone who's adding value. We all need a Barnabas. Barnabas's name means encourager, and he was with Paul. And I think you need someone just boys. I don't know what girls say, girls, you know, people that just are encouraging you, that you're on the journey with. And I think we all need a Timothy, someone that we're pouring ourselves into. And so for me, relationships are everything. I think the quality of your relationships will dictate the quality of your life. It's just alignment has always been more important to me than assignment. And like, I'll just say this over and over and over again. What I do, it matters, but I'm telling you, I believe this with a conviction that who I do it with matters so much more. The people you decide to go on the journey with is everything. In fact, I really believe this in starting a team. And I'm off script. I'm going to come back to what you're saying. But like, so those of you that are hiring staff, but even just picking teams, because if you're a youth pastor in here, you're building teams. I actually always say who before what. Like I want to get the right people on the bus. What I've learned is the right people on the bus, they don't need to actually even like really care fully like what the destination is. Like my wife and my kid, we get in the car, like we're just happy to be together. So I always think it's getting the right people on the bus, and then once you get all the right people on the bus, then start figuring out what seat they need to be into. Okay, you got that gift and you got that skill and you don't belong driving this thing, my God, you know, whatever. But who is more important than what? Because how many of you know that the wrong people with the right vision is irrelevant? You can have all the vision in the world. If you don't have the right people with you, like you're not getting there. So people, I think, is everything, especially in the ministry and in the kingdom of God. And so I think for me, when we first got going, there were just some key relationships that I met and people that I found value in. And I think I was just intentional at fostering relationship with them. Carl Lentz, Judah Smith, John Gray, Robert Madu, Chad Veach, Chris Durso. These guys all 10 years ago, maybe before you even knew their name, we just were all kind of in the same cycle of life, maybe in youth ministry or coming out of that. And we just, through different events, ended up meeting each other. But then we're just intentional about fostering a relationship that today has just kept me going. I don't think I would actually be here today without those voices in my life. Because good friends, how many know that good friends, they make the valleys not so bad and they make the mountaintops so much better. And so I think when you say, how do you pick that? I think you have to design that. You have to find people, one of those three categories, and go, I need that in my life. I need that in my life. I need who are the people that are going to know everything about me that I'm traveling with, that's my encouraging me? Who are some heroes that I'm looking up to that I can get a moment with them that can speak into my life? And where's somebody that I'm pouring myself into them, you know?
That's awesome. That's great. When it comes to team, And bringing up team, you've done youth ministry, young adult ministry, now again, senior pastor. We have people that are in our world carrying leadership roles, and everyone has tough times. Everyone goes through periods where they, you know, we use the word like where they fail, failings, whether it's moral, whether it's leadership, whatever it is. How do you negotiate that, especially when it's someone on a key team? Like, what is your process and what's your first step when something goes horribly wrong? Because often everyone else will point out, oh, that person really screwed up. As a leader, what's your first step?
My first step is what the scriptures would say, would go to the person. You know what I mean? So I think we have two different categories there. Do you have a performance issue or do you have a, you know, character issue? And I think both probably get dealt with differently. You know, if you've got somebody on your team who's openly walking in sin, there's different degrees of that that will disqualify you from, I think, full-time ministry. Not out of legalism, not out of judgment, but just out of the simple fact that, yo, man, I was telling someone the other day, like, you know, the Bible says that God, you know, he looks upon the heart, you know? And so I was talking to one of our leaders the other day about just their attire. Like, they just, I just felt like they were, like, coming to work, kind of looking, and I felt like on Sundays they just weren't sharp. And the person was like, yeah, man, but, like, you know, like, doesn't God judge the heart? I was like, yeah, bro, but you're not trying to reach God. You're trying to reach people. And it just so happens people don't look at the heart. They look at you. And so, like, some things are not that, like, it's like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, like, pull together, you know, shave, whatever the thing was. I don't think it was shave. I don't know what it was. I think it was deodorant. Oh, praise God. Anyways, but I think there's different degrees. And, you know what I'm saying? I think there's things if, you know, if you're a youth minister and you're cheating on your wife, well, like, we're going to have a conversation. There's going to be a restoration process, and we got to decide to where you're at with that. But I think a performance issue is different. I think that you have to confront that stuff. I refuse to live like in this space that we're not going to talk about stuff. I think that people avoid, whatever you avoid, the enemy tends to invade. And whatever you avoid in leadership, assumptions are created. And so whatever you don't clarify as a leader, people are going to assume they know. And I want to make sure people know what I expect. And so I think failures and mistakes are the greatest opportunity at times to teach leadership. I love to use problems or mistakes as opportunities to develop people. Because I think you can actually, like, some of the stuff we're talking about today, it's like, oh, cool, it's principles and you write it down. But sometimes it's so much better when you have a real incident on your hand and you can take a value as to say, this is why this can't happen again. And you can actually begin to help restore someone and build someone. If people aren't given the opportunity to make mistakes, they're never going to grow. All of my success is because of a lot of failures. Honestly, like, if you're not failing in some category, it's probably because you're not succeeding somewhere. Success is built upon lots and lots of failures. And so you have to make a decision as a leader. We're all going to fail. Learn to fail forward. Learn to take failure and turn it into fuel for your future to move forward from it.
That's huge. Awesome. Cool. We're going to chuck it out there now for a few Q&A. So Lorraine's here. She's got the mic. You can chuck your hand up and
Lorraine,
she'll get it.
That is my grandmother's name.
There you go.
I called her Nana growing up. Yeah. Can I call you Nana? Would that be, oh, be inappropriate? Okay, so I wasn't sure. It's inappropriate, but I was. But could I? No, okay, I'm kidding. No, but maybe. Okay, I'll stop. All right, Nana. Okay, stop. Nana. Nana. There's a young man out there. I've got a word for you, sir. The word of the Lord would be. Did you get all that?
Yeah, got
okay,
it all.
Praise God.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Hey, obviously you got some friends that have like a little bit of influence. Kanye West may be one of the most influential people. You know, culture, media, fashion. Is there any insights or anything you've learned from him? Like, what's the most valuable thing you've taken from him?
That's a fun question. Yeah, I have a value in my life that we should always be reaching up. I think too many leaders, I've met a lot of leaders that are only comfortable leading people beneath them. And that would be a fun topic to do one of these times, is how to lead up. How do you lead your leader? How do you, like, honestly, because there's always that whole Paul, Barnabas, Timothy thing, there's always like this three phases. And hopefully if you're healthy, you always have those three spheres. I don't care if you're a senior. Pastor Chris said today, you know, I've got a pastor. Like, there's always somebody that is above you, around you, beneath you. But I have a value in my life that I want to constantly be reaching up. If you're the smartest person in your group, bro, you need a new group. And so when you ask about Kanye West, I think that Kanye West, like what you said, I think that he's an artistic genius. I'm not here to talk about whether or not his art is holy or sacred, but we'll save that for another Q&A. But I think there's much to learn. And so I think when you say what's one of the things I've learned, one of my things that I value about him a lot, I should do a leadership teaching off what I've learned from Kanye West, but one of the things I valued so much from Kanye is his ability and his desire to bring people from all different walks of life together. Like, it's amazing. His favorite thing in the world is to get the weirdest group of people in the same room and just start talking and start flowing. And I actually think that, like, the church should be leading that conversation. I actually think that we in our youth ministry should be going, yo, we should be building environments and communities that's pulling people. We shouldn't be afraid of disagreements. We talked about that yesterday. We shouldn't be afraid of people not believing what we believe. I think that we should get comfortable in conversation and presenting our case and hearing people and learning from people. And so I think one of the things I've just always valued about him is that he actually has a real desire and love for people. And obviously I've gotten to see a side that maybe other people haven't gotten to see. And so he's been nothing but gracious and loving and warm towards my family. And I love him. I believe in him. I think he loves Jesus. I think that he lives in a big world that's full of lots of pressures and challenges. And rather than me judge him, I've tried to love him. And in our moments of relationship, get to talk to him about the truth that I see in Jesus. And so I think he's always been open to that. It's always funny because we live in a world that's like, yo, if you're really his friend, you'd be telling him this, this, and this. It's like, bro, like, it's funny because it goes back to people. People think that people are projects. You do know that, by the way. Like, sorry, now I'm off script again. I wrote a book on this. But like, so one time someone came to me and was like, yes, Jesus hung out with people that did not believe like him, but he always hung out with them and they were converted and followed him. You know that's not true. So if you've said that dumb statement, don't at least read your Bible and come up with a new argument. Like, I just want to qualify this, like, because this is really, like, there's a story of a guy by the name, we know him as Matthew, but his Jewish name is Levi. The reason why he has the name Matthew is because he's a tax collector working for the Roman government, so he had to change his name out, and he couldn't be a Jewish guy. He had to have a Greek name, a Roman name there, and he's a tax collector, and Jesus sees him like, yo, bro, come follow me. We don't even hear the sermon. We don't hear any of that stuff, but Matthew gets up. He's like, yo, I'm following him. That same day, the Bible says that Matthew calls all of his tax collector friends, and Jesus goes to a party, and the scripture just says that he eats with them and drinks with them. There's no sermon, and the Pharisees come by. They're like, what are you doing with these guys? And Jesus is like, he's awesome. He's like, yo, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. And the Pharisees are like, that's a great tweet. Absolutely. We are on that same, you know. And what Jesus is saying is, like, I came for everybody, but it's only those that acknowledge that they're sick. And everybody in this room is sick. We're all sick. We need the Savior. We need Jesus. And what I love about the story is that night, you don't see any of their tax collectors be like, yo, I'm following Jesus. All we see them do is have dinner and drinks with Jesus. And it shows me that Jesus was okay to be with people. He was okay to be at the party. It's okay to get around people. Just don't let people get into you. And so I just think we got to be careful. Like, you know, Jesus healed hands that would hurt people again. Jesus healed lame men that would run. He healed 10 lepers and only one came back to say thank you. He healed eyes that would lust again. I mean, just like, I think our job, once again, is to partner with people. I'm giving a very long answer because people don't ask me about Kanye West, but you're very brave and I appreciate you doing that. And you did so in such a tactful way that I'm still talking about it. I remember one night I was with Kanye, and that's so stupid.
Awesome. That's cool. Anyone else?
That's awkward. Oh, okay. What's that? God bless. Are we good?
Awesome. Last chance. Going once.
Nana?
Oh, okay. We got one.
Here she comes. What's your name? That is my aunt's name. It's not, but I wish.
You mentioned about taking it personally.
Yep.
And you mentioned about the growth track.
Yep.
So we call it Pathway at our church. And
better name.
There. Yeah, it's
I'm stealing it.
How do you...
sort of got cultish vibes a little bit, maybe. The Pathway. No, I'm kidding. I like Pathway. I'm taking it, honestly. I'm not going to give you credit either. I'm going to say God spoke to me when I was in New Zealand. And we've renamed it The Pathway. And I'm going to say, Chris Hodges, we have our own thing going on. Sorry, these aren't funny jokes. I apologize.
How do you
Yes.
How do you help influence your team to take it personally as well when they step in to, you know, like, because Pathway is literally an amazing journey.
Yeah.
And so how do you influence?
Do you feel like that's a challenge that's around you, that there's people? Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. Well, I think that number one, like, I think our best leadership is always the example that we live, right? Like, you know, our leadership is always seen before it's heard. So, like, I can get up and speak a message, but if I'm not living that stuff, so I can get up to our team and be like, we don't have an evangelism team. We are the evangelism team. But if I don't actually ever bring anybody to church myself, like, that's not going to have any, like, fruit. You know what I mean? Like, I've always tried to go, when I'm pointing a finger, there's three more pointing right back at me. And one of my favorite things that Craig Rochelle says, it's beautiful. He's trained his church, and we just had Heart and Soul a Wednesday night, like last Wednesday, D, was that last Wednesday? I can't remember what day it is. And one of the challenges I had with them is, like, let's not ever say people in our church don't do this. Let's instead change the language and say we haven't led people in our church well in this area. People in Miami won't get to church on time. Nah. At VU Church, as leaders, we have not led our church well to get to church on time. What it's doing is that it's putting the ball back in our court to be an example. And so I think in areas how do I try to challenge? I think that I try to live it out first, which is an area that you get to do right now, that the excitement that you show around it, the way that you live it, I think is going to catch on to other people. You know what I mean? If we're just angry, crusty leaders going, none of you take it personal, like, that's not going to ever be attractive. It's like when I get up in church, whenever our giving goes down, I always get up and I never go, you guys need to give more. I always go, man, I love being a part of a generous church. You people are so generous. But actually, I'm just trying to pump and speak life into them because sometimes they're not generous. And so it's like positive reverse psychology. And so I think you got to speak that way over them. But I think for me, it's constantly teaching it. You know, it's constantly teaching it. And so I think for you, my encouragement is maybe you're leading the pathway right now. And so it is something you're passionate about. What's another area in your church right now that somebody else is leading that you're not taking personally? And start to pick that up a little bit and say, I'm taking this thing personally too. And lead by example in that other space. Does that make sense? Because what happens on the journey, like in our church, the same thing. It's like Bree Graham is loving VU Kids with her staff, and Kyle loves the VU Crews, and Adrian's all about VU College, and Luke's all about worship, and Sam's on the creative mix, and Chris is doing finance. Oh my God. That was your fault, bro. Bro, when I get anointed, man, like, you got to get out of my way, man. Like, weird things preachers say, you know? Like, oh, when the fire comes like this, oh. I'm sorry, did I ruin something? But my point is that they all start getting compartmentalized. They start getting into silos. And so I'm always challenging, working together, and taking the whole thing personally, not just the area, the whole church. Make sense? I love you. You're amazing. The pathway, I believe in it. What's the first step of the pathway called? Know God. And then what? Yeah. I'm a, can you send me your materials? Can I use your logo? Get me another water bottle, man. I'm up here parched. I'm dying, man. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. 90% of what I say is not true. So you should know that. Oh man. Whew. Fire of God.
I got nothing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Awesome.
Oh man.
So good. That was anointing. Totally, that was great. Yeah. Hey, can we give it up, Pastor Rich? That was
so awkward. I love you, man. Thank you guys so much. Good. You guys are all incredible.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks for coming all this way, spending time, and Pastor Rich is speaking Friday night as well. So it's going to be awesome. And there's still night tickets available. So if you are at an Auckland church, maybe you got young people that weren't going to come along, or your people, mates that need to come along, man, go online, lock in those tickets now because it's going to sell out Friday night, which is going to be awesome. But we're gonna finish up in just a minute. But we wanted to real quickly before we finished up, we want to let you know about a couple of things. First thing is, again, just remind about Life Leadership College. If you are interested in hearing about that, maybe you're a pastor, young adult, youth pastor, and you want to hear a little bit about maybe how people in your church could get the content of Life Leadership College, the ministry input, but serve in your local church still. What Life Leadership College is not trying to do is poach the best and the brightest to come and clean up our water. That's not what it's about. It's about trying to resource the local church with some things we believe that God's put on us as a church, some of the things that he's given Pastor Paul Murray. And so, one, if you're a young adult that is keen, you're interested in Life Leadership College, head along. If you're a youth and young adult pastor and you know you've got some people that need to get in that environment, do it. I'm so thankful for my youth pastor who actually did lose me to life, but that's another story. But who believed me enough to, we're not going to do that anymore. It's a one-time thing. But seriously, the youth pastor who's actually here now is a senior pastor who, when I was like, man, I think Bible college is where I need to go. They're like, man, you need to go up to life. And help me transition from Hamilton up for a season and do it. I've got plenty of mates who've gone through it who are serving in their local churches here in Auckland and loving it. So if you're interested, tomorrow afternoon, I think it's 1:30, we're going to have a 1:15 p.m. in the marquee in the local. We're going to be having an info session on that, so you can shoot along, hear about that. It's going to be awesome. Tonight we got Pastor Jensen Franklin. All right, doors open at 5:30. It's going to go off. It's going to be amazing. So make sure you're there. And then finally, what we want to do as a youth and young adult team is we really value, like seriously, what we were talking about before in the first session, if you're here, we really value vulnerable, honest relationships. Like, honestly, I think more than all the leadership talks in the world, more than all the conferences and go to, like it's the people you do it with. It's the relationships you have outside of your immediate environment who can speak into you, speak into blind spots, encourage you, empathize with you. And so what we'd love to do is we'd love to have a chance to connect up a whole lot more. Not a chance for us to be able to talk more. That's what we've done at Masterclass. But for us to be able to carry on a relationship and conversation, not just to us, but amongst us all. And so what we've got is on the screen behind us, we're going to chuck up a website. It's just youthconf@lifeconference.com.
Are you okay?
It's the anointing.
It's getting late. It is an email address, not a website, everybody.
So you, it is just an email address. What we'd love you to do is if you're keen to connect a little bit more, it's been a long day. If you're keen to connect a little bit more, we'd love you to send an email to this with your name, your role. So youth leader, young adult leader, or youth pastor, young adult pastor. Conference is apparently spelt wrong.
It's definitely spelt wrong, guys. We're just testing if you guys are reading it.
What are you doing? I'm struggling as it is. No, that's right. Shift the blame. So, spell conference right. All right. What we'll do is we'll change it out. We'll put it up here. What we're going to do with this, real simply, what we're going to do with this is if you're a youth leader, young adult leader, just means we want to let you know about stuff that's coming up that you can come to, either leadership stuff that's happening, not necessarily just life things, but things that you can get a part of. If you're a youth or young adult pastor, what we want to do is we want to be able to build some friendships. And so over the next month or two, we're not going to put like a week timeline on it because we're all going to be dead after this. But the next month or two, we'd love to be able to give you a call, some of our team, either myself, Dan, Will, TC, or Josh, our other youth pastors and their wives, and we'd love to be able to call you, connect with you, grab coffee, set up times to actually do life together. Even if you're in the South Island, Australia, we've got FaceTime, whatever it is, and actually build these relationships because we need you as much as you need us. We need these relationships and we need to hear what you're doing. We need to be encouraged by what's happening in your world and be sure in that. So make sure you do that. We're going to put that back up. Send that before you leave. Don't do it as an aspirational thing like, yeah, we should do that. You're going to forget it and then you're going to spell conference wrong. Okay. So off the back of this, like literally get out your phones, send the email right now because in the next few weeks, like I said, month or two.
It's fixed.
There it is.
Good job, Micah.
We would love to be able to touch base and connect.
The last thing, Ollie, I forgot to share in our panel session. I've got a couple of youth ministry hacks that I wanted to give you if you wanted to write these down. A couple of websites that will help you. To do games, to do different things in your youth ministry, and that's like the best thing as a youth pastor, youth leader you could ever have. So one I found really helpful is called stuffyoucanuse.org. So it's just spelled all normal spelling, stuffyoucanuse.org. Doesn't have abbreviations. Stuffyoucanuse.org. There's heaps of games, different podcasts and all that stuff about youth ministry. If you're in Australia, there's one called youthmin.com, and that's spelled Y-T-H-M-I-N.com. In New Zealand, anywhere you are, you can use it, actually. There's heaps of games on there, and that's run by Youth Alive in Australia. And there's also, like, different forms that you can use, like health and safety forms, It is made for Australia, but you could use it in New Zealand. Health and safety, there's new Christian forms, there's sign-in forms, all that stuff you guys can just get off there, as well as games. If you're doing graphic design and you don't like Photoshop, there's some amazing apps out there. There's one called Canva, C-A-N-V-A. Oh, love it. So
Canva
good. You can get that on your browser or your phone, but there's another one I found called easel.com, which is E-A-S-I-L.com. And that's very similar to Canva, but does a little different things. So hopefully that can help you.
Yeah, awesome. And then a few people asking yesterday, we referenced really quickly just that changing generation and actually being intentional about recognizing the change from millennials to Gen Z. Great book on that you can get and resource is Hello Gen Z by Claire Madden. Okay, so first name Claire, second name Madden. She's an Australian social researcher. And
can you spell it?
C... I'm going to get it. Nah, I'm not going to do it. But seriously, it's a great book. I think it's like $25, but talks all through that whole social change and what's coming. But she also has a whole lot of material specifically angled at churches. She's part of Hillsong Church, so worth checking that out as well.
If you ever have any questions, feel free to email us.
The right email.
Not go to the website. Email us.
Email us.
And we'll be good.
Awesome. Hey, that's us. That's Masterclass for this year. Hopefully you've enjoyed the last 2 days. Tomorrow is going to be all about main sessions, so we're going to be back-to-back main sessions. It's going to be awesome. Tonight, doors open at 5:30. Also, tomorrow morning, we will have coffee going again from 8:45. Tomorrow it's a bit shorter, 9:45 to 10:15. There's a half an hour window, so jump in there if you want to come get a coffee. We'll be here to hang out. It should be awesome. But I'm going to get Will to pray for us.
That'd be good.
Before we head on out.
Awesome.
And enjoy the rest of the conference.
Great. Lord, we just thank you so much for an amazing time in this youth marquee. And we have fond memories of Ollie spelling things wrong and good jokes. But God, we have more fond memories of what you're doing in us personally. God, things that we're going to take home and activate. God, we pray that our notes wouldn't just be notes, but they'd be things we actually put into place. God, we look through them. We highlight what you're talking about, God. And would you speak to us? God, speak to us that have been up here, but speak to everyone as well that's come along and written down stuff, Lord. We thank you for Pastor Rich, God, who came and shared his heart. God, would you just continue to bless his family, continue to bless his ministry, Lord. And God, we pray tonight that people would be saved, God, as we go into that main session. God, as people come in that don't know about your gospel, that don't know who you are, God, we stand here right now in expectation. We just say, God, bring people home tonight. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Awesome.
Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Have a good afternoon. Hypothetical, working out of something that I'm proud of. Out of the box, an epoxy to the world and the vision we've lost. I'm an apostrophe. I'm just a symbol to remind you that there's more to see. I'm just a product of the system of catastrophe. And yet a masterpiece. And yet I'm half diseased. And when I am deceased, at least I go down to the grave and die happily. And leave the body of my soul to be a part of it. I'll do what it takes, whatever it takes.